Welcome to the Cullen Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cullen Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. You're listening to Weekend Edition of the Cullen Economics Report. I'm Al Cullen. Appreciate you joining me. Going to start out the show today with Jeff Deist. Jeff is the Chief of Staff for Congressman Ron Paul. He's an old golfing buddy of mine. He's a very insightful individual, and his opinions into what's going on around the world, I think, are absolutely invaluable. They're certainly invaluable to me. Jeff, what's your impression overall right now about what's going on in the Middle East?
Well, obviously, it's unsettling. You know, the U.S., or the coalition actions against Libya, coming on the heels of the disaster in Japan, it seems like a lot for most Americans to take. I'm not sure that most Americans, including most members of Congress, have a real good understanding of Libya and its history. So I think, you know, people are rightfully asking some questions. What is the Obama administration's plan? You know, why did they agree to do this at the behest of the UN? Why did they commit U.S. armed forces, at least in the form of our planes, to military action without congressional approval? You know, so people are questioning the process, Al. They're not just saying that whatever the Obama administration does here is right and that we stand behind it. So it's refreshing to see that. There are constitutional issues here, legal questions. And then, of course, there's just the more practical or fundamental question of, you know, do we really know what we're doing here? Is it wise to be intervening in Libya, especially in the form of actual bombs?
I find it interesting that Secretary of State Clinton doesn't seem to be 100% for this. She is quoted almost daily in the press as saying, we have to have a wait-and-see attitude. What do you think about that?
Well, it's being viewed as her war. You know, right after this happened, the president went down to South America. Mr. Biden was overseas and, you know, was really viewed as she was at the helm of it. So I think it's going to be her baby, like it or not.
Yeah.
And I think we all sort of hope that U.S. involvement is limited.
Mm-hmm.
But, the question, I guess, amongst many is whether this is sort of something that Hillary's involved in to bolster her public opinion, or that she's still contemplating a run for president or something like that. But I really don't think that's it, Al. I think that this is just something that kind of fell in her lap, and she might be more uneasy with it than we know.
Right now, the Middle East in general, to me, is a very, very unsettling place. You know what? It's a powder keg getting ready to explode. You know, I think that was evidenced by this past weekend, the Israelis coming out with that missile shield that they came out with.
Absolutely. It is a powder keg. And Al, you know, what we find out is that when we talk a lot about democracy and self-determination and voting and this sort of thing in America, but when it turns out that people actually do that, we don't always like the outcome. In other words, we kind of like our old guys, the guys that we installed or propped up or maintained through OPEC or however we did it. So we're finding out that democracy ain't all it's cracked up to be. But, yeah, you're right. There are more fundamentalist, more Islamic movements in a lot of these countries that are not as pro-West. You know, we've got something to do with that. I mean, from the Shah of Iran to, you know, for many, many decades, we've been intervening in ways in the Middle East that have radicalized and turned some people against us. Certainly, we're not responsible for all of this, but we got to consider our history, you know, when we figure out what we're going to do next over there.
I can't believe that we have a necessarily positive presence in the Middle East. I mean, you know, the atrocities that some of the army guys committed over in Afghanistan. I mean, what's going on, you know?
Well, it's such an unfortunate thing, and you know, who knows what all the facts are. But I'll tell you what, you put young men into situations like that, and you can't always blame them. You really have to look at the policy and say, what are we doing here, and what's the best course of action going forward? And I think this Libya thing has a lot of people very, very nervous. I mean, we're barely paying for Afghanistan and Iraq as it is with borrowed money, Al. And the tiny amount of budget cuts that the Republicans are talking about this year for 2011.
It's kind of a joke, isn't it?
The tiny amount of budget cuts could be eaten up in just a few weeks in Libya because, you know, it costs tens of millions of dollars to prosecute even sort of an offshore bombing war.
It is really amazing to me how a country that is insolvent as the United States is, isn't finding the right direction. It keeps getting worse and worse and worse. Interesting article in the recent edition of Time magazine where basically the author came out and said, it's turned into a political football. People are afraid to take a stand today, you know, and consequently it's a quagmire that until somebody stands up and says, this is wrong, people have to tighten their belts. They have to quit worrying about getting reelected in the next election. They've got to take a stand and simply say, you know, this is what we have to do to get out of a situation accurately described as insolvency.
No, there's no question. A lot of people voted for Barack Obama thinking that he was going to cut or get us out of some of this tremendous cost we're incurring in Iraq and Afghanistan. We've seen the opposite from him. We've seen escalations in the money we're spending over there. And then on the Republican side, a lot of people voted last fall for the sort of the Tea Party phenomenon, thinking mm-hmm. that we're going to cut entitlements. And there's no question about it. You know, when you said they got to stop thinking about winning reelection, the party or the individuals who seriously go after Social Security or Medicare spending, mm-hmm. which is absolutely necessary for the future of this country, but those individuals or parties are going to be voted out of office. There's no question about that. The AARP, a million different seniors groups have already issued incredible attacks against anybody who even puts their head up and even talks about this stuff. So, you know, it is an entitlement not only in the sense that's the name given to these programs, but it's also an entitlement mentality.
Well, the United States definitely has an entitlement mentality right now. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff, you know the numbers better than I do, but I have heard that 52% of the people in this country are obtaining some type of entitlement. You know, it's hard to take stuff away from people that they're getting for nothing, man.
Well, that's true, and when you consider Social Security and Medicare also, you get lots of folks who are not, poor, who are maybe reasonably well off, but they still don't want to see a cut.
It's amazing to me how people, for example, my colleagues, you know, how people are quick to say, you know, you can't cut this entitlement, the government can't do this, the government can't do that. And my standard response is, well, you know what, if you don't feel the government, whether you're talking about a local program or a state program or a federal program, if you don't feel that it's right for the government to cut that, why don't you write a check? Why don't you help out? The risk of blowing my own horn. That's something that Kathy and I have been doing for years. You know, as your boss says, people got to help people.
Yeah, and there's no question that when it comes to welfare-type programs, that direct charity is much more efficient and the money spent much better than it is. But, you know, the real key to the future, apart from military spending, is going to be Social Security and Medicare. And the however we figure that out, whether it's going to be some kinds of means testing, whether it's going to be some kind of increased retirement age, you know, let's just hope we can figure something out quick enough, because we're not going to grow our way out of the problem.
Isn't it interesting how we can talk about a situation as far away from Social Security as some people would think, like Libya, like the U.S. involvement in Libya, and truly understand the correlation, for lack of better terms, between what's going on over there, what's going on in our country, and why our country continues to weaken. It's all of these things.
Well, it is interconnected, because in order to continue the deficit spending to fund things like Libya, mm-hmm. we need to, in essence, monetize debt by issuing new bond debt that in many times falls flat in terms of a bond they're offering on the open market. And so the Fed becomes a buyer of last resort, and we have this sort of circular process with the Treasury issuing debt and the Fed buying and holding on its balance sheet. So very quickly, we're going to come to the point where the rest of the world doesn't take us seriously anymore and knows that we won't get our fiscal house in order. It's going to become harder and harder to issue that debt unless, of course, we raise interest rates precipitously.
Yeah.
So we're in a real catch-22, because if we raise interest rates, of course, our line item in our annual budget, i.e. interest on the national debt, will go up in sort of a parabolic fashion. We're in a real pickle right now, Alan. The best thing to do, of course, is to just stop digging and try to clear our heads and figure out where we're going to go from here. But when you see things like a new campaign in Libya, you realize that people at the top are just don't understand the severity of our fiscal issues.
I agree 1,000%. Jeff Dice, thank you so much, buddy.
Thanks, Al. Talk to you soon.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Daddy, I'm hungry.
That little girl will get fed, for now. But what if people like Glenn Beck are right about the threats we face? If the U.S. dollar loses its status as the global reserve currency, prices on the things you need most will skyrocket. Food may be unaffordable, or worse, unavailable. Earthquakes, economic turmoil, continuing unemployment, rampant inflation, and even threats of terrorism are all reasons to let the experts at Ready Reserve Foods help you with a long-term food storage plan. Ready Reserve Foods has been a premier supplier of long-term storage foods for 37 years. Their unique process assures the highest quality long-term food storage available worldwide. Their products have a shelf life of 25 years, and a year's supply of quality food for two people only takes up about as much space as a refrigerator for a fraction of what you now pay at the grocery store. You owe it to your family to find out more from Ready Reserve Foods. Call today for their free full-color catalog at 1-800-453-2202. That's 1-800-453-2202.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher-safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793, 877-747-2793, call 877-747-2793, or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, you know, Jeff Deist had some really interesting things to say about the situation in Libya, and I would have to say about how
we're engaged in yet another activity that we really can't afford. I find this to be, to say the least, rather interesting. You know, it's interesting that Rasmussen on Thursday, March 31st, Rasmussen Reports came out with a poll that said, here's a direct quote, despite President Obama's address to the nation Monday night, most voters still aren't clear about why the U.S. military is engaged in Libya. A new Rasmussen report, national telephone survey, finds that only 21% of likely U.S. voters think the United States has a clearly defined military mission in Libya, and 56% disagree and say the military does not have a clearly defined mission over there. You know, there's more and more news coming out that really, I have to say, is anti-U.S. in the sense, you know, the Vatican came out last Thursday and was talking about the civilians that are getting killed as a result of these airstrikes. You know, I got to tell you, I don't get it. I have to agree with Congressman Ron Paul, you know, Jeff Dice's boss, that we don't need to be the policemen of the world. It's their country, not ours. Got Peter Granich on the line. Peter's expertise, you know, is really economic and financial issues. But the situation in Libya clearly has economic implications for the United States, huh, Pete?
Oh, it does. Right from the onset, the actual cost at a time when America, I think, is certainly, in my view, financially bankrupt. Mm-hmm. Here we are getting ourselves into something that, like you said, there's no clear plan. In fact, I question, you know, the side we're supposed to be helping, will they one day be an enemy if they win? So, I mean, and where do we draw the line? If we do this in Libya, do we not do it in Syria or Iran, or do we do it any time people claim they needed our help? Let's not forget that this all started with the Arab world clamoring that we needed to do this no-fly zone to stop the carnage, and America did step up with a couple of allies, and then the Arab world and the African world just disappeared and took no responsibility. And this is just America again getting itself in a place where I don't really think it has to be.
If you look at the level of involvement by the coalition, for lack of better terms, it's my understanding, Pete, that it's about 80% U.S. involvement, you know, and you know, I mean, this is just another example of being someplace where we really, really don't belong. I do not understand the rationale behind it whatsoever. I mean, yeah, there are ill feelings towards Muammar Gaddafi because of, you know, the events that have occurred in the past, and those ill feelings are well founded. But for God's sakes, drag him into international court or something. But let's quit getting our boys killed. Let's quit spending money that we don't have.
I think the other thing that I heard from a very interesting military perspective was that whatever effect we were going to have, it would be in the early days, and that would be it. And then the problem would be is if there wasn't a follow-up plan or an exit strategy, whether it's Gaddafi's exit strategy or ours, we could be caught in a no-win zone. And I think that's exactly what happened. Yes, the potential of a wide-scale massacre might have stopped, at least for the time being. But now what? What do you do? How long does the plan last? Or how long do we help enforce a no-fly zone? 3 months, 3 years, 30 years?
Yeah.
You know, people forget that we had a no-fly zone in Iraq for almost 8-9 years, and eventually we still ended up going in there and getting caught in another war. So, you know, I don't see any positive out of this, and quite frankly, as an American, I agree. I'm tired of being the policeman. Let somebody else do it.
Yeah, I just don't see where this is a win situation whatsoever. I mean, sure, that you know, the Italians and the French get their oil from Libya. We don't, to say the least. I mean, it just, I don't know. It's making me very angry on the one hand, and on the other hand, you know, I'm looking at the effect that this is happening on the price of hard assets, specifically gold and silver, and the companies that I'm involved in, you know, as an investor. And I got to tell you, it's doing my portfolio a whale of good, but I don't want my portfolio to do a whale of good, you know, for these reasons, Pete.
Let's take this proposition. Let's say we turn on the television and all of a sudden we see similar attacks by the Syrian army against its people, the Iranian army against its people, where tens of thousands of people could be massacred or killed. Are we going in there too? Are we not going there because if it's a different reason? I think the problem here is that this was done from the seat of the pants, and there really was no exit strategy even thought of, and we were kind of coaxed into this by a group that said that they needed our help and were going to participate, and as soon as we gave the help, those participants disappeared, and that's not the first time that's happened.
I think we really need to be careful as to what we're doing over in the Middle East because, you know, we kind of looked silly under the Carter administration with a hostage situation, point number one. Point number two, in terms of the situation in Iraq, and I know a lot of people, I'm sure, would argue against this, but, you know, I'm not really sure that was a highly applauded action, you know, when we did that. I have to agree with you. I mean, there are atrocities occurring right now in Iran. There are atrocities right now occurring in Syria. Are we going to go in and say and save the civilians there too? It's not our place. I mean, what I would ask listeners is, how would you feel if they came over here and quote unquote helped out during some of the social unrest we've had over here? That may seem like not a viable comparison, but I got to tell you, it strikes me that it is.
Well, I think the other thing we need to talk about is the economics of this. Of course, at a time when we're talking about shutting down our governments, where states can't make payrolls, where local municipalities and we're sending off missiles and all at 1.4 million a pop.
Right.
And you start to think about this and the cost, and I don't see what we're gaining from this in any type of, we've been used and abused in the Middle East for years, and we're being used again. And it's this time, to turn around, and say, listen, Italy, and you the guys that really need this oil, you need to send a bunch of oil. They got airplanes. They have soldiers. They're the ones that are really needing of Libyan oil. And yet, here's America right in the thick of it again at a time when I don't think it really can afford it. Fiscally, emotionally, and quite frankly, I think even from our political standpoint, I think the time is to say is enough. We are no longer the world's cop. Someone else needs to take the role.
Well, let me bring up one other thing, Pete, that I think is really interesting, and that is roughly 50% more Americans have been killed in altercations involving the drug lords in Mexico than have been killed in the entire military conflict of late in the Middle East. We've got a very serious problem with the drug cartels now threatening to come into the United States and kill our law enforcement officers on the news this morning, Thursday. I mean, let's tend to our own knitting. We got a heck of a problem down here. You got the final word?
Well, yeah, that's the next problem of numerous geopolitical concerns. But in a sense, as you said, those of us who have seen the light, so to speak, and invested in hard assets, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you want to look at it, they're going to benefit from this unrest. Certainly it's not the U.S. dollar, and we've seen the dollar declining despite all these so-called geopolitical problems.
Yeah, I would agree 1,000%. We need a redirection. Peter Granditch, thank you so much. Hey, listen, check out Peter's blog. It's excellent. This guy has a wealth of information about various publicly traded companies that he follows.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Dr. David Berry has provided excellent advice for all those interested in practical economics and sound money. It's certainly worth reading.
That's what Congressman Ron Paul said about Cha-Ching Wisdom, 123 Practical Universal Truths About Money, the new book by Dr. David Berry.
The cool part of this book, certainly it'll speak to you personally, your life, your lifestyle, your money, your investments, but it also can be generalized into the nation, what's going on as a nation. We do these same things personally that we do as a nation.
Dr. Berry's book, Cha-Ching Wisdom, presents many facets of your relationship with the once almighty dollar and how current national and international politics affect your daily life.
Some of the other things are about that. They're not just economic. They're philosophical. There's psychology involved in this book. There's philosophy involved in this book.
Read Cha-Ching Wisdom by Dr. David Berry, only $9.95. Available at ChaChingWisdom.com. That's ChaChingWisdom.com. ChaChingWisdom.com.
Sore throat? Spray that with Dermatol. Diaper rash? Spray that with Dermatol.
Ouch!
Burn or cut? Spray that with Dermatol for shockingly fast relief. If you had room for only one first aid product in your preparedness kit, you need Dermatol because it works on almost every skin irritation or injury. All natural Dermatol brings amazing relief to burns, cuts, scrapes, bites, boils, shingles, rashes, elderly skin tears, even chronic diabetic ulcers and bed sores. Dermatol is an all-natural, antimicrobial, antiviral, and antifungal wound cleanser that speeds healing with no side effects, is safe for all ages and skin types, and is even safe enough to spray on sore throats or onto sore eyes. Read our many testimonials at Dermatol.com, spelled D-E-R-M-A-T-O-L.com. Order online at Dermatol.com or call 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Effective, efficient, economical. Spray it all with Dermatol.
Fear of falling is the number one reason seniors leave the home they love. And millions of aging Americans can no longer enjoy the pleasure of a simple bath from fear of falling. Don't leave your home. There is a solution. The revolutionary Designed for Seniors walk-in tub. Rediscover the soothing, luxurious pleasure of a comfortable and therapeutic bath by calling 877-513-3797. The Designed for Seniors walk-in tub has everything. A low step and walk-in door for easy access. Built-in heating, easy-to-reach controls with both water and air jet therapy to soothe away aches and pains. All tubs are proudly made in the USA and come with a limited lifetime warranty. Enjoy a relaxing, safe, and comfortable bath again. Call 877-513-3797 and ask for the Designed for Seniors walk-in tub. That's 877-513-3797. The Designed for Seniors walk-in tub for boomers and beyond.
If you own a septic system or if you're facing costly septic system replacement, this message is for you. When you want to stop paying for pump outs and avoid backups, when you've had enough of the foul odors and costly repairs, use BioSafe One Septic Solution. Now there's an easy-to-use 100% guaranteed answer to all your septic system problems. BioSafe One Septic Solution. BioSafe One is patented and made specifically for all septic systems and made by the same team of scientists who helped clean up the Exxon Valdez oil spill. BioSafe One decontaminates and removes sludge. Stops costly pump outs and repairs and removes septic system stench, all with a 100% success rate. See what gives BioSafe One Septic Solution the advantage over any other septic product at BioSafeOne.com. That's BioSafeOne.com. BioSafeOne.com. Or call toll-free 1-866-424-6663. That's 1-866-424-6663. BioSafe One, the guaranteed bio-friendly, money-saving way to clean your septic system.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. I'm Al Corlin, and I appreciate you joining me. And I'm chatting right now with Jim Wyckoff. Jim is a contributor to Kitco. Jim goes back a long, long ways in terms of the financial community. 25, 30 years ago, with an economics background and a degree in journalism, he went to work for an organization that is now Dow Jones. He became fascinated with what's going on in the industry, and he's now got, it appears, a real passion for precious metals. Huh, Jim?
Well, I do. I've followed the precious metals markets for the past over 25 years, and I follow a lot of the other markets too. And what I've discovered past several years, especially, is that you really can't follow one market or even one set of markets. You need to really follow a lot of markets because they're all interrelated. Just for example, today with the jobs report that came out, you saw the dollar, the U.S. dollar index jump on the stronger jobs report, and that in turn put downside pressure on the precious metals.
Mm-hmm.
And the markets are just really interrelated, and I'm fortunate that I've been able to follow them all and cover them all. You know, that has allowed me to cover them a little bit better.
You know, Jim, what I think is really interesting is the relationship between politics and the markets. I mean, I think anybody who disregards that relationship really needs to have their head examined. I mean, you know, you brought out, as you wrote on Kitco on April 1st, you know, that
gold was going down a bit, you know, due in part to the stronger jobs numbers, which I think some people would disagree with. Not with your statement, by the way, but they would disagree. You know, there's a lot of people who question the accuracy of the jobs numbers, Big Al being one of them. But another thing that I find really interesting is the correlation between political events, both domestically and on an international level, and the price of gold. I mean, I'm firmly convinced right now that one of the reasons that gold continues to be strong, as does silver, is number one, the turmoil in the Middle East, and number two, the actions of mainland China. I mean, do you think I'm nuts?
No, I mean, you know, gold is gold and silver are safe haven assets, and when you have times of heightened geopolitical uncertainty, you're going to see more investment demand for gold. And as far as politics go, I mean, I look at it more from an economics point of view, but, you know, you are seeing growth economically in China. You're seeing more of kind of a move toward democracy in small steps. And you're seeing economic growth in India, and that those countries are huge consumers of gold. You know, that gold is extremely valuable to them as far as gifts and, you know, holdings and other such things. A report from the Gold Council just came out yesterday that said demand in India is for gold is going to grow at about 3% a year for the next 10 years.
Yeah. I mean, that bodes well for the market. There's really no question about that. You know, kind of an interesting extension of what we're talking about, though, and that is if the Middle East should ever settle down, if people become comfortable with the fact, you know, and aware of the fact that, well, China's buying gold and China really has made noises in the past, rather serious noises, about changing the world's reserve currency from the U.S. dollar to basically an international basket of some sort that is asset-based. And they're talking about, you know, they have made noises in the past about that asset being gold. I mean, what impact do you think that would have on the price of gold, Jim?
I think any move away from the U.S. dollar being the benchmark currency of the world, I think that's going to be positive for the gold market. Talking about it from an economic point of view, the fact that China has become a voracious consumer of raw commodities as their economy grows at a 10% clip a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, politically, China is becoming a bigger player on the world front. I guess I think that's bullish for the gold market.
Do you see anything in the horizon, you know, even in the long term, that could be detrimental to a strong precious metals market? And, you know, the reason I'm asking is I've been getting input now for a long, long time from colleagues, Jim Rogers and other folks, you know, who have said we're in a huge secular bull market for commodities right now. We don't see anything at all changing in terms of the precious metal strength that, you know, that we're witnessing right now, you know, at least for another 6 or 7 years. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I can't disagree with it. The one you asked me what I thought could derail the bull market in the precious metals, and I guess the one thing that could derail it is deflationary price pressures, which, you know, we are certainly not seeing. The continuous commodity index, which is a basket of 17 major commodities rolled up into one composite index, it just in March hit a new all-time record high. You saw Fed officials today come out and talk about, you know, rising interest rates. They're worried. They're finally starting to worry about inflation after, you know, certainly being behind the curve there, in my mind anyway. But and then you're just seeing continued economic growth worldwide, which means more demand for raw commodities, and the, you know, gold and silver are raw commodities. I'm a firm believer in the study of technical analysis, and you can break it down into one simple factor. And I've got to give a speech for Kitco in New York City in May, and my speech is going to focus mainly on, in the simplest of terms, if you look at the price of gold and the price of silver over the past, certainly the past 10 years, the price trend has been up. And anybody, you know, that's when I broke into reporting on markets and learning about trading and learning about how to successfully trade and how to be a successful investor. Nearly every methodology involves price trend. And the price trend in gold and silver has been up. It's been solidly up for the past 10 years. It's up on the daily charts. It's up on the weekly charts. It's up on the monthly charts. You can't get any more bullish than that. And until those price uptrends in gold and silver start to turn down, until you start to see early technical clues that you know we do have major market tops in place, which we have not seen yet, the path of least resistance for gold and silver prices is going to be sideways to higher. It's as simple as that.
You know, that's an interesting point. I've got a friend who's a regular contributor to our program, Roger Wiegan, who is. Roger's also a regular contributor to Kitco 2-3 times a week, if I'm not mistaken. But it's interesting. He feels that the technical analysis that he's involved in vis-a-vis the gold markets are saying exactly the same thing. He is looking for absolutely zero weakness. You know, you're going to have your day-to-day fluctuations, you know, as we had today and as we had, you know, a couple times here during this past week. But overall, I've got to tell you, I mean, I just think that it is the perfect storm for gold. You know, I wrote an article that Kitco published a couple, 3 years ago. I was flying back from Toronto, and I was so fired up about the environment that we were in that I wrote an article entitled "The Perfect Storm for Gold and Silver," and it's just I don't think anything has changed. And I got to tell you, that was 6 or 7 years ago, and it just seems to be getting stronger and stronger and stronger.
Well, I was just looking at the longer term charts yesterday, Al, and you could see gold prices correct by a couple $100 an ounce,
sure,
and still be in longer term uptrends,
exactly,
in the gold market. Silver, you could see prices back off $5, $6, $7, $8 an ounce, and still see longer term price uptrends be in place. And we've seen that over the past years. You've seen a decent downside correction, only to see prices recover and score new for the move highs. And so that's probably going to continue to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've seen the past several months is that when we do see a decent downside correction in the gold market, it becomes a value buying opportunity for those that, you know, want to own more gold. Value buyers so far have been correct in their assumptions.
I agree 1,000%. Jim, we got to run. Stick around, you guys. Big Al's going to be right back with Dr. Michael Berry and Chris Berry. Be right back with you.
Hi, my name's Russ, and after my heart attack, I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I needed to keep on working, but now it's becoming a problem. I heard about these garlic cayenne drops and hoped it would help me. Well, I've been taking them for about 4 months, and the way I'm feeling now, I can see how I just might make it to retirement, thanks to Extendivite.
My name's Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you need MyPillow. Guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. Using a patented fill, MyPillow adjusts to your exact individual needs by gently supporting your head, shoulders, and neck. MyPillow has a natural built-in cooling effect, keeping your cervical nerves cool, giving you the best sleep of your life. MyPillow will never go flat and relieves snoring, migraines, sleep apnea, fibromyalgia, and many other disorders. It's antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, and best of all, machine washable and dryable. MyPillow is made in the USA, has an an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and an industry-leading 10-year warranty. Order today at MyPillow.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. Mention coupon code GCN and receive 20% off your order. What do you have to lose except poor sleep? MyPillow.com, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own, guaranteed.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full acre crisis garden. So visit them today at survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com. Or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for SurvivalSeedBank.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Okay, here to round out the first hour of the weekend edition of the Cortland Economics Report. I'm chatting right now with my friend Dr. Michael Berry and his son Chris, and we're talking about a subject. We were talking earlier today about a subject that I think is something that people don't realize the gravity of the situation. And that situation is, you know, 6 days from today, we've got theoretically a date happening when the government could shut down because the debt ceiling will have been breached again. And of course, what's going to happen there is the government won't shut down, and the blame game that's going on right now is going to stop, and people are going to compromise somewhat. It's not going to be an effective compromise, but they're going to compromise, and things are going to go on as usual. But I have to tell you, this $14 trillion deficit that we have right now, I mean, it's a recipe for total disaster. We've been saying this for a long time. A lot of you folks out there listening realize this, but, you know, I want to get some real expert views on this so we can really, really drive the point home. Michael, you're a frequent speaker in Washington, D.C., to various committees, to various banking organizations down there. I mean, this is not good.
No, Al, it's not. On May the 2nd, I'll be presenting at the Federal Reserve, as I do twice a year, and I think we're reaching a tipping point now on a number of different levels. One of them certainly is whether or not they'll have a budget agreement, and there are problems on both sides of the aisle. I think the Democrats right now are going to try and make the Republicans look like the bad guys. And I think within the Republican Party, you've got the Tea Partiers who want to hold this to feet to the fire, so to speak. So I do think there will be an agreement. I don't think they'll shut the government down, but I think they'll have another resolution to push it forward another 30 or 60 days, something like that. The problem is, Al, that even if they have an agreement here, it's going to be so small as to be insignificant. It's going to be in the order of $30 billion of spending cuts. And as you pointed out correctly, we're $14 trillion in debt now. So we need to make major spending cuts. And so this really isn't the issue. The issue will be the budget next year. But I do think that they'll push forward here and there'll be some kind of a compromise. But it's a gamesmanship in Washington now. That hurts the American public directly in this case.
You know, Mike, it's all about politics. There's no question about that. Mike, I'd like to get your son's view on this, just because, number one, I have a great respect for his intellect. But number two, you know, you and I are of one generation. Chris is another generation. I would be curious to see a younger generation, I guess I should say. I would be curious to see what Chris's views are on this. I mean, Chris, what do you think? Are your dad and I just a couple of old fuddy-duddies? Are we nuts? I mean, is business as usual okay in your mind?
Well, yeah, I would I think a couple of things. Number one, I don't think that you guys are off base. I think, you know, a lot of people, my generation, and I actually, today I turned 37, so just to give you an idea of where I'm coming from, but, you know, I don't think that you're off base. I think, you know, coming back to even the threat of a shutdown, that scares a lot of people, and it tends to slow things down. I was reading something yesterday that said, you know, the government can't, for example, the Department of Defense, they can't enter into long-term contracts until they have a legitimate budget, not some two-week or one-month or three-month thing. I mean, a yearly budget. So, you know, in terms of how this looks, I mean, I think a lot of people in my generation are, quite frankly, throwing up their hands and looking for ways to protect themselves and protect their wealth. And that's where, you know, you start looking at investments and precious metals and hard assets and so on and so forth. But, you know, I think traditionally it's been older generations, if you will, that have been classified as gold bugs and folks that have looked at hard assets as preservation of wealth tools. And now what you're starting to find is the younger set, generations like myself and even you know, a generation after me, are starting to look the same way, because a $14 trillion deficit is, you can't even get your mind around it. But you know it's big, you know it's not going anywhere, and you know just the interest on the debt is expanding exponentially every single year, and somehow that's going to have to be paid, whether or not it's cutting entitlements, raising taxes, probably a mixture of both, and you know even the threat of defaulting, which, you know, everyone says, oh, that could never happen, but, you know, you never know. I mean, I'm not an alarmist by any stretch of the imagination, but when you start talking about deficits that are this big and are only getting bigger because nobody wants to feel the pain of the cut, I think anything's on the table.
You know, I have to tell you, Mike, and again, I guess I'm directing this towards you, but in my humble opinion, you know, when you talk about raising taxes, when you talk about cutting spending, you know, these are things that are very, very painful. And I'm not sure that American society as a whole would go along with that without having some very, very dramatic events. You know, not the least of which, in my opinion, could be violence in the streets. I think there is a better possibility, and you're going to think I'm nuts, my friend, but I think there's a better possibility that you might see the United States kind of throw their hands up in the air, perhaps along with some other countries, you know, and say, we got to start over, and the only way to do that with no hardship is a default. Here we go. We're starting over. Everybody, stick with us. You think I'm nuts?
No, I don't. I think, as Chris pointed out, there's a possibility of that. But before that happens, they will debase the currency, which they are doing now.
Yeah.
The idea that Secretary Geithner said that it was Geithner. He said
Treasury
basically
Secretary.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said, we have a printing press. Well, when you have a printing press, that means you're going to print. And when you print, you lower the value of the dollar. In 2000, the Canadian dollar was $1.60 to $1 U.S. Today, the Canadian dollar is 97 cents plus to $1 U.S.
Yeah.
And if you look at any other major currency, we are devaluing our currency radically, quickly. So there is a silent partial solution to the problem. I don't think it solves $14 trillion in debt, but the silent solution is the printing press, and I think people are catching on to the fact now that there is inflation, there is nascent inflation, and it's the silent most depressing tax of all is inflation.
Well, I got to tell you, we went out and got gas yesterday, and as you know, we're spending a few months this year down in the desert, okay? And we went to Costco, cheapest gas in the area, and I paid close to $4 for a regular. I haven't paid $4 for gas. Well, of late I have, but prior to that being a common thing, it was probably a year or two ago that we paid that much money for gas, even longer than that. Mike, I have to tell you, what you and I and Chris are talking about right now, it just gets me closer and closer and more enthusiastic about the fact that I am doing the correct thing in terms of investing in hard assets, whether it's the asset themselves or whether it's the securities of the publicly traded companies involved in that industry. I think anybody who doesn't get in that direction is absolutely crazy.
I would agree, and this isn't recent. It's only becoming apparent recently. We're in a 10-year bull market in commodities, gold over $1,400, silver over $37 an ounce, unbelievable even a few years ago, and I think we have another 10 or 20 years of this ahead of us.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about that. Jim Rogers first brought that to my attention when I was involved in a conference with him back in Frankfurt, Germany three years ago. He was talking back two or three years ago about a sustained bull market in commodities that would go until somewhere around 2017, in his opinion. I don't think there's any question whatsoever about that. I think that people need to take a look at something that you guys are involved in, and I'd like to have Chris maybe elaborate on this a little bit, but Discovery Investing, you guys in your newsletter are involved in investing in things that are perhaps a little off the beaten track. I'd like to wrap up this particular segment with Chris, you telling us a little bit about Discovery Investing. You got a minute, my friend.
Yeah, okay, great. Well, basically, Discovery Investing is a different risk approach to investing. It lends itself to small and micro-cap companies, and what we believe is that all great wealth begins with a discovery, whether or not it's a discovery in the mining space of a high-grade gold mine or in the the pharmaceutical space of a cure for cancer. Investing in these penny stocks where it's high risk but potentially high reward, we think is a way to protect yourself going forward. Specific to metals and mining stocks, again, we talked about gold and silver, but again, this rising quality of life phenomenon coming out of Asia lends itself nicely to looking at nickel plays, at copper plays. Lithium is also a very interesting metal. So Discovery Investing focuses on the small microcap section of the market and looks for potential world-class discoveries that you can create generations of wealth from.
I have to tell you got to take these guys seriously. When you have somebody who has the stature, two people who have the stature that Dr. Barry and his son Chris do, take a listen. We provide a link on our homepage to Discovery Investing. Click on it. You can learn more. The gal's going to be right back in the next hour. Stick around.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24/7. You heard me right. Every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.